Central America's story isn't just distant history. It's the backstory to today's headlines about migration caravans and asylum seekers. When families arrive at the U.S. border, they carry with them the consequences of centuries of American intervention that most U.S. citizens know nothing about. The region dismissed by some as shithole countries was deliberately shaped by American foreign policy, corporate interests, and military intervention. The roots of today's migration crisis stretch back to different colonial systems. The U.S. emerged from British settler colonialism that eliminated indigenous populations, while Central America experienced Spanish extractive colonialism that exploited indigenous labor. After independence, Central American elites modeled their nations on the U.S., viewing indigenous peoples as obstacles to progress and implementing forced labor systems for coffee production. By the early 20th century, American corporations like United Fruit Company controlled vast territories across Central America, creating the original banana republics. These companies effectively governed through corruption and military force. When Nicaraguan leader José Santos Zelaya challenged U.S. hegemony in 1909, America orchestrated his overthrow and occupied Nicaragua until 1933, installing the Somoza family dictatorship that would last over four decades. Why does this matter? Because the migration patterns we see today follow historical roots shaped by over a century of U.S. economic and military involvement. The Cold War turned Central America into a proxy battlefield where democracy fell victim to American anti-communist fears. Guatemala's 1954 coup proved pivotal. After the country's first free election in 1944, President Arevalo abolished forced labor and enacted progressive reforms. His successor, Arbenz, initiated land reform that challenged United Fruit Company's extensive holdings. U.S. officials feared not just land redistribution, but the earthquake in consciousness as workers formed powerful unions and indigenous communities gained direct government access. When diplomacy failed to halt reforms, Eisenhower directed the CIA to remove Arbenz through Operation PB Success. The aftermath brought widespread repression. Thousands were imprisoned, killed, or disappeared under anti-communist pretexts. The U.S. then remade Guatemala into a showcase for foreign investment, allowing American corporations to write the country's new laws. Bank of America drafted banking regulations before entering the market, while oil companies created petroleum codes, enabling complete foreign ownership and profit extraction. By the 1970s, revolutionary movements emerged across Central America, challenging U.S.-backed dictatorships. In Guatemala, where 75% of Mayan children faced malnutrition, the 1976 earthquake that killed 20,000 people sparked grassroots organizing. In Nicaragua, the Sandinista National Liberation Front united popular organizing, progressive church elements, and nationalist ideals under the slogan, "Between Christianity and revolution, there is no contradiction." Reagan, upon taking office in 1981, prioritized crushing these movements, declaring Central America the most important place in the world. His administration, led by Vietnam veterans and right-wing ideologues, framed their policy as overcoming the Vietnam syndrome, while critics warned that El Salvador is Spanish for Vietnam. To fight Nicaragua, Reagan circumvented U.S. and international law through CIA-funded Contra forces. These proxies targeted civilians through assassination, torture, and attacks on community infrastructure. When Congress restricted funding via the Boland Amendments, the administration's illegal Iran-Contra operation diverted Iranian weapons profits to the Contras. The violence claimed 30,000 Nicaraguan lives, one in every 38 citizens. As Reagan escalated conflict in Central America, a powerful solidarity movement emerged. Thousands of Americans witnessed regional conditions firsthand and challenged official narratives. The Catholic Church played a crucial role through its missionary network, with 2,000 U.S. religious workers embracing liberation theology's focus on social justice by 1979. The 1980 murders of Archbishop Romero and four U.S. churchwomen catalyzed religious opposition. the Sanctuary Movement transformed over 500 congregations into refugee safe havens defying federal law. Led by Reverend John Fife and Jim Corbett, this resistance inspired the Sanctuary Cities movement that continues today. Witness for Peace placed U.S. citizens in vulnerable Nicaraguan communities to deter Contra attacks and document violations. Organizations like El Rescate and Carecan provided refugee services while maintaining advocacy. The movement reached its height in Nicaragua, where international brigades supported the Sandinistas. Benjamin Linder, a 27-year-old engineer killed while working on rural development, became a powerful symbol of both solidarity and U.S. policy's human cost. The 1990s peace accords marked the surrender of radical redistribution projects rather than true justice. Central American nations, instead of receiving compensation for U.S.-backed damage, faced aggressive neoliberal reforms. International financial institutions mandated cuts to education, healthcare, and social services, prioritizing business interests over social needs. The Clinton and Bush administrations expanded free trade through NAFTA 1994 and CAFTA 2004, spurring growth in the maquiladora sector as U.S. manufacturers sought low-wage labor. By 2006, the industry employed 442,000 workers across the region, concentrated in Guatemala and Honduras, where costs and regulations were lowest. This model created a race to the bottom among countries competing for foreign investment. When Guatemala raised its minimum wage in 2006, 30,000 maquila jobs left the country. Governments responded by weakening labor protections, changes U.S. trade representatives celebrated despite their direct role in fueling migration patterns now labeled a border crisis. Post-war Central America saw unexpected increases in U.S. migration as peace failed to address fundamental issues of inequality, poverty, and limited services. As community support systems crumbled, new challenges emerged. Urban violence, drug trafficking networks, and transnational gangs filled the vacuum left by weak state institutions. Climate change devastated subsistence agriculture through droughts and coffee rust disease, destroying small farms. Over half of recent migrants were agricultural workers, citing food insecurity as their primary reason for leaving. Farmers across the region's dry corridor struggled to maintain viable harvests in increasingly harsh conditions. By 2019, Guatemala, 264,168, and Honduras, 253,795, each surpassed Mexico, 166,458, in border apprehensions, a historic shift in migration patterns. Neoliberalism created conditions driving migration while using it to maintain social order. Migration served as a safety valve for the unemployed, while remittances paradoxically sustained the system by helping families accept low wages and reduced social services. Today's Central American crisis stems directly from a century of U.S. intervention and exploitation. While humanitarian responses to migration are needed, lasting solutions require confronting this forgotten history. Central Americans have enriched American social movements, bringing organizing expertise from their struggles against dictatorship. Groups like Carison evolved from solidarity work to become powerful immigrant rights advocates, while Central American workers revitalized the U.S. labor movement by organizing in low-wage industries. True justice requires repairing the damage from generations of domination and resource extraction. Current problems, from palm oil plantations destroying indigenous lands to drug violence and poverty, are direct legacies of this past. Understanding this history, from United Fruit Company's actions to CAFTA's impact on small farmers, is essential to addressing migration's root causes. The key question isn't just about changing border policies, but transforming the systems that created today's inequalities. When we see migrant caravans, we must remember they aren't simply coming to America. America's policies reached them first.